As school messes return, rest easy. Clorox has got your back to school.
Oh, no.
I'm back. That messy science experiment. And I brought baking soda, cornstarch.
And you're due tomorrow, right? Well, at least I stocked up on Clorox disinfecting wipes. Because you're not messing up my kitchen counters like last time.
Ooh, smart. Got any food coloring?
And off to the store we go.
Stock up on Clorox disinfecting wipes that clean three times better than wet paper towels on kitchen grease and soap scum. Use as directed.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
Hello and welcome to another Win Daily Show. My name is Michael Raziel and I have my man Steve Najab with me. I have my man Joel Schreck with me and we are talking the BMW Championship here and I am very excited for it. See, how you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing awesome, man. How are you?
It's a good day, man. As I was telling you, I'm trying to find that free bet because I want to bet it on the Mavs plus eight. Free bet for anyone out there. I don't know if Jason's going to get angry at me, but our house better has a plus eight on the Mavs right now. So I'm going to try and take it and I'm going to run with it. But DraftKings is screwing me over a little bit. So we'll see what happens there. Joel, how you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing great. We are in the prime season for fantasy sports. It couldn't be a better time of the year for me.
Right. We got, I'm still grinding baseball every day, which has been great. Obviously, we have baseball DFS. We got the NBA. NBA is starting to wind down a little bit. We're starting to only get to these two game slates, which they're still fun. I'm very excited to watch that Mavs game as I was talking about in a little bit. And yeah, obviously the height of NFL draft season. I think I have my first real draft coming up this Friday. I have another one the week after that and another one the day after that. So very excited. I am actually, kudos to my future wife. Love her very, very much. We are actually drafting at my rehearsal dinner, which I'm extremely excited about. So kudos all around to me. So I'll take my bow. I will appreciate any compliments because I may be the luckiest person on planet Earth. But enough about me, enough about me. First we have to say, anybody that's listening and watching right now, guess who's coming on the show tomorrow? See, I'll let you take this one.
So the one and only Michael and Joel, the one and only Robert Griffin III will be on the show with us tomorrow, which is awesome. Oh, Joel, you didn't know that. I just saw your, for those listening to the podcast, Joel's jaw fell to the floor. So that was kind of cartoonish. So yeah, Robert Griffin III is going to be joining us. You know, we had the back and forth, or I should say, really, we just sort of had it, Michael, where we were kind of, you know, talking about RG3 a lot in the, you know, the past few months. And, you know, we parlayed that to a notification to the RG3 Foundation, and Robert Griffin was interested and come on to the show, and we're going to make a donation to the foundation, of course, as well, and we're going to try to get some awareness from other people in that regard. So we're going to talk about the foundation, but we're going to talk about some fun stuff too, like football and basketball. You know, growing up, he was a big basketball player too, along with the track star. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. Who's the GOAT? You know, LeBron or Jordan, or who's going to win it all, you know, things. I want to ask him, Michael, and, you know, let's just pontificate real quick. And Joel, please feel free to step in. I want to ask him about like things in threes, like your three favorite things. But I haven't really come up with ideas like three favorite artists, movies, things of that nature, because I think that would be both cheesy and fun.
Yeah.
I will say is this podcast has the ability to speak things into existence. I mean, when we first started talking about him coming on the show, I don't think either any of us actually thought it was going to actually happen. And boom, a month later, he's on. And we spoke HV3 into winning the first round leader a couple weeks ago.
That's so right.
Listen, These things keep happening.
Whatever we're doing, guys, we are doing it right. So let's keep the train rolling.
No, and can I say on that note, you talked a lot about Scottie Scheffler last week, and we had that big back and forth where I said, oh my gosh, if you talk Scottie Scheffler, I'm in on Scottie Scheffler. And then he shoots a 59. Like, what the hell is going on here? I can't wait for the rest of the show.
I was going to say, I'm really curious what we're speaking into existence this week, but we are here to talk about the BMW Championship. It is always nice to, you know, we don't want to repeat history, I guess, or we need to learn history to understand what might happen going forward. So Sia, talk to me. Have you ever seen somebody shoot a minus 30 before? Because again, I don't watch that much golf. I watch enough and I know when I see and I hear, but I'm very confident. I've never seen a minus 30 on a leaderboard before. That was absolutely incredible last weekend.
It was incredible. I kind of hated it at the same time. Like I do want, especially from a betting standpoint, whether you're playing matchups or outrights, you know, I kind of like some challenge to the course because it's going to make me be able to delineate, you know, the average golfer from a betting standpoint, the average golfer from, you know, the slightly above average golfer and so on and so forth. So, you know, DJ was the best guy out there and he's one of the elite players, but you know, you have some of these randoms that are just having, you know, great days and it just, you know, some guys need a more challenging course and that's kind of their bad, I guess. But I don't want to see minus 30. I don't want to see birdies. He had more eagles than bogeys, Michael.
Awesome. I love it.
I mean, what is that? That's not, awesome. That's, I mean, that's like the local, you know, municipal like golf course, if not putt-putt at that point. I mean, what are we doing here? Joel, what's your opinion on that?
They said it on the broadcast. I don't know if you saw this. Max Homa wrote a tweet. And there, so last week, PGA came out with a golf video game, PGA 2K1. And so Max Homa goes, the video game, DJ is making the video game look too easy, right? Because he's not shooting, you can't shoot a minus 30 in a video game, but he can do it in real life. So he's playing. I mean, what he did was unbelievable. It's cool to see somebody be that elite at something, right? Because like, that's just different to watch and be that much better than everyone else in the field. But yeah, I mean, it's less exciting from a betting standpoint because there was no action. It was like, it was over by Saturday, the whole tournament.
Well, I just thought it was cool. Scottie Scheffler goes out, shoots that 59. And then I think Dustin comes out and goes birdie, eagle or something. And everyone was like, wait a second, we got something here. So, I mean, again, I agree with you. Again, we don't see minus 30 very often and I don't expect to see it anymore, however many more times. But every once in a while, it's kind of cool. I mean, again, you know, as you said, it is kind of like your local municipal putt-putt, but no one else was even at 20 under. Like this dude just blew the entire field away, which is in itself, every once in a while, it's fun to watch that. And, you know, Mr. Paulina Gretzky, he's always going to be one of my favorites for that reason. So we'll see what happens there. But just crazy. Just crazy when I looked up and saw that. I thought it was extremely impressive. And I think DraftKings had a bet and it was minus money for him to hit like 8 birdies or something, 8.5 birdies over under, which is just insane. And he crushed it on that final day. So, you know,
in one day or the weekend?
It was the day. It was in one day and he crushed it. He won the bet. It's insane. It was nuts. Wow. I love it. But we are moving on. We are talking here about the BMW Championship. Sia, talk to me a little bit about where we're at and what we're doing because it's a no-cut event, correct?
Correct. We're in the second leg of three legs, essentially, for the FedEx Cup. So next week is going to be the top 30 that are going to be competing for that $15 million prize. Don't forget, though, that it pays out the top 30. So if you're like 30th next week, I think it's like $395,000. I think second place is $5 million. So you're not just battling for $15 million. Like some of these guys will be very much enticed by the second and third place prize. So it's in Chicago. It's a course that a lot of people haven't really played. The only guys that really have any record of playing this course the last 5 years are some of the guys that are kind of like rookie-ish or, you know, in their first or second year, because a lot of the amateur championships were played in like 2016, I think maybe 2017. I'm not really sure. Hovland has played well on it. Morikawa, Wolf, they've all been successful on this course. I think Cam Champ as well. And maybe Joel probably knows a couple other guys as well. So there's not a lot of course history here to speak of, which we normally talk about. So this is really, for me, this is going to be, you know, who's in good form, who has good iron play. It helps to be good off the tee here, helps to be long on a few particular holes. But for me personally, I'm just going to be focused on approach game, iron game, particularly, you know, mid to long iron range.
Love it. And Joel, what are some of the things you could potentially add to that?
Yeah, so what's interesting is there was a big amateur tournament here. I don't know what year it was, within the last 5 years. DeChambeau actually won it, and that was before he became Beefy Bryce. So I don't know if that helps or hurts. Like, it's like a different golfer, right? Like, Beefy Bryce is the one that hits it out 350, and like he's not as controlled. Whereas pre-Beefy Bryce, he was more controlled, and so I don't even know if that means anything that he won it a few years ago. But yeah, a lot of those young guys that are those up and comers that are kind of like the new wave on the golf tour right now, they had played it. So if you can get a little course history from that, but I'm not basing much of my picks this week off course history because of that reason. You know, Jim Furyk won the tournament in 2003, and he's not even in this field. Tiger, I think, got like 20th, and you know, Tiger in 2003 getting 20th is like bad because he won every tournament then. So I wouldn't base anything off of that. The one thing for this tournament that I will preface it with, and it's a lot of kind of how you build your rosters, is most of the time with golf, we're playing GPPs, right? We're playing tournaments. And because it's a no-cut tournament, that's really important, right? Because with cut, you can't take your chances on those 6,000 guys too much, because when they miss the cut, you're done. You're not going to win anything. But now, a guy can blow up on Friday and still be in the winning lineup because he has two more days to go low. So a guy like Ryan Palmer, who does that a lot, who will go 6 under, 5 over, 6 under. Normally you want to shy away because you're not sure if he'll make the cut. Now feel free because you know you'll get all 4 days.
I love that. And that's true. Absolutely. Yes, we saw Ryan Palmer do that a couple weekends ago where, yeah, he was completely erratic, but he made the cut and made some people some money, which is kind of nice. So let's start talking about it. Let's hop into this top line of golfers. Obviously, we have a stacked field. I'm also seeing Webb Simpson out. Is that new news? I just saw that there. Joel, you're shaking your head. Talk to me a little bit.
Yeah, he pulled out earlier today. I found it surprising because his results this week would have made a pretty big difference. So for context, and Sia will probably know this better, but there's a point system. So once you get to the next week's tournament, then the guy in first place starts the tournament 10 under. Starts. So every other guy is at a disadvantage. So you want to go into this as high as you can. It goes up to 10th place. So every guy up to 10th place is going to start under par. And Webb Simpson is like right in the top of the 10th tier. So he's probably going to fall out of it, if not maybe be around 10. So I would have thought playing this week would have helped him ensure getting some of those strokes for next week. But he's been pitted to play the last two tournaments, and I guess he needs some rest.
Good for him.
Yeah, and there's issues with – I think he still might have issues with this caddy. There was sort of this, like, alleged rib injury that he had a couple weeks ago. It might be a case where he, like, legitimately needs the rest. But, like, as far as the reports go, it kind of just seemed like he's tired and he just wants to skip this week, which, again, I agree with Joel, is, like, extremely surprising because you are really kind of putting yourself behind the eight ball to win the 15 mil at that point. So – I'm surprised.
$15 million is a lot of money. You know, you'd think somebody would do everything in their power for a couple more weeks because I'm assuming there's not quite. Well, we have the U.S. Open coming up soon, right? So, but still, $15 million is a lot of money. And as you said, it's not even the $15 million. I wouldn't mind like fifth place in this tournament at all. And I mean, just the 30th place is like a Tuesday for Joel betting, you know, DFS and whatever. So, I mean, kudos, congratulations there. So now let's hop into that top tier of golfer. We got Dustin Johnson, John Rahm, Justin Thomas, Bryson DeChambeau, Rory McIlroy. There we go. Dustin Johnson's priced up a little high. Surprise, surprise. Talk to me a little bit here, Sia.
Yeah, this is a really tough range, and I really am excited about Joel's opinion here because I think I'm going to fade most of this range. I mean, I haven't really been on Rory all year, and I just the mystique behind Rory, if it's not gone for most people, like I just don't even know what to tell you at this point. Again, that doesn't mean he's not going to have a good tournament, but I mean, there's like literally no evidence that he's going to be good this weekend relative to this top tier. So the only, in my opinion, the only reason to take him is he's a few less percentage points owned than some of the guys like, you know, a Justin Thomas or a John Rahm or even, you know, Dustin Johnson, for example. But, you know, the lowest guy ownership wise in this range is Bryson DeChambeau. I don't think I could be on him again this week. As far as this range is concerned, Justin Thomas is the guy that I'm kind of looking at. I don't know if you recall, Michael, when we started doing these live streams before the pandemic, I think it was, you know, I had sort of said Justin Thomas, I think, is the best player in the world. And I think he has a real shot to finish on top of the FedEx Cup standings. So part of this is my bias and sort of sticking with my pick. But I do like Justin Thomas the best in this range.
Yeah. And what about Dustin Johnson? What do you think his ownership is going to look like, especially after what he just did only 3 days ago?
So right now it's looking at around 15%. And to give you some perspective, if we're going to talk about that top tier, which does not include Webb anymore, so it's just five people in that 10,000 range and above, he is basically, he's going to be third among those from an ownership standpoint. Right now it goes Justin Thomas, John Rahm, Dustin Johnson, and then right below DJ is Rory McIlroy, and right below that is Bryson DeChambeau.
Love it.
So, and I think a lot of people like him. I think if his price wasn't so high, I think it would be higher, but 15% looks about right to me.
Yeah. 11.5. That is good for him. Joel, talk to me. How do you like this top line?
Yeah, but before I dive in, one thing I want to preface my picks with for today, and something I spent a lot of time thinking about this week, is, again, what I was saying earlier when we started the podcast, the same concept of, because there's no cut, how I build my lineups is going to be different than normal. So I typically like to build most of my lineups in the 7,000-8,000 range with six guys that are all plus golfers. This week, I'm going to be a little bit more top and, you know, stars and scrubs, if you will, because I can survive some of those bottom guys as long as they give me a couple of good days. So with that being said, I would say normally with a cut, I wouldn't be targeting these guys, but because there isn't a cut, I am going to be targeting Bryson. I like the fact, obviously, that he's going to be low owned, the lowest owned of this tier. Mm-hmm. And a thing that I mentioned on one of our previous podcasts, maybe in last week, it's a long course. And what's going to benefit Bryson a lot is you're going to be able to look for long hitters here, right? You're going to want to look for guys that are going to be able to drive it really far and hit their irons really far. That's the main statistics that I'm targeting for this week. So who hits further than Bryson? Nobody. So I'm going to definitely have some shares of him. He didn't look great last week. That is concerning, right? It's hard to get on a guy who is coming off kind of a poor performance. But you don't have to look much further back from last week to find him playing well. So, you know, he's too good at golf. I see him riding the ship. So I will be playing a little bit of Bryson. And I like John Rahm. I'm going back to him. He closed really well last week. He finished strong. And again, he can hit it long, which will suit him really well in this course. So those will be the two guys in this top range that I'll be looking at.
I like it. There's one thing, Joel, if you could, the more you just have to say beefy Bryson moving forward, the rest of that's the only thing I'm going to ask for. It sounds too good rolling off your tongue. Sia, let's start at that 9K range up top with Xander Schauffele, Daniel Berger, Colin Morikawa, Jason Day, and Scotty Scheffler. Joel, your boy, he made it up into 9K. So talk to me a little bit, Sia. How are you feeling about this 9K range?
Yeah, two guys I'm targeting here, and they're both, one's really popular and one's, you know, not necessarily hugely popular from an ownership standpoint. Daniel Berger, I like quite a bit. I've kind of liked him for a while now, so I'm just kind of sticking with the pick that I've been riding for a while. And then I'm going to go with Joel's boy. I mean, Scottie Scheffler is, we know from what he did last weekend, that any given day he can go super, super low, and that's what we're looking for. Scottie isn't really necessarily prone to the blow-up day, although he has them, so that's not going to hurt you as bad, because he can have a blow-up day and still be, you know, top five or top six in scoring, depending on how he does on the other 3 days, if not higher than that. So I like Scheffler and Daniel Berger in this range, this 9K range.
I have to ask, if you're enamored with Scottie Scheffler and what he did last week, why are you not interested in Dustin Johnson, who shot 11 strokes less?
Well, because first of all, they're 2,500 difference in from a price standpoint. And honestly, I thought DJ's ownership was going to be a touch higher than it is. So I'm going to have to monitor that. But I was already kind of going into this tournament fading him, because I just assumed he would be a little bit popular. People are going to try to ride that wave. And so, you know, it was more of a pivot play for me. Now that I know he's only like in that 15% range, it's something I'm going to have to monitor. I think that's going to go up a bit, because I think what Joel's saying is going to be a kind of a popular move. I think people are going to kind of come to their senses a little bit and say, hey, I can sneak a couple, you know, 6K guys in here that I really like, and then take DJ and maybe take a Scheffler, for example, and then just like go with those, you know, those kind of high octane but can blow up sometimes guys.
Love it. Love it. Joel, what about you? What about this 9K range?
So the first thing, as you guys know, I love Scottie Scheffler. I'm always on him. And I said this last week when his price went up. And now it's like him in the 9,000s is not priced accordingly. He's playing great. Like, it's not that he shouldn't be priced there. He's in great form. He's playing great. But he's not a 9,000 golfer. I'm kind of talking two sides of the coin here. This course does suit him well. You need a long hitter. He hits it long. So I do like him this week. Everything tells me to play him other than the fact that I feel like he shouldn't just be this expensive. You know, they normally don't price adjust this much on guys, even though he's playing great. So I'm definitely going to have some shares of him because of his form and everything else. But I just feel like they're almost over adjusting on his current form. If you look through the full body of work of who he is, this is not really the golfer he is. So I'm in between on him. I'm definitely going to have some shares, but I'm not going to overplay him. I love Berger as well. Berger is like, for some reason, I feel like Berger is so disrespected. It's like, why is, I mean, he's now, his price is not so low anymore, but like, he doesn't get talked about as one of the major guys. The one I read this week, he's not invited to the Masters this year. And it's too late for him to earn his way. And so the only way that he gets to play in the Masters this year is if the people that run it just invite him on their own as like an outsider gets invited. He cannot earn his way into the Masters. How bizarre is that? He's one of the best golfers on tour. There should be no question of him playing at the Masters. So that kind of stuff, he's getting disrespected, and he might want to come up and kind of show off and say a little like, you really don't want to invite me to the Masters type of thing. And then, you know, another guy you can't fade is Shoffley. You know, he's too good to, like, if you're going to be pulling a mass number of lineups, 10, 20 lineups, one or two got to have him in there.
Neither of you guys bring up Colin Morikawa, gentleman who just won the PGA Championship, if I'm not mistaken. Joel, I'll start with you. Why not? Dude's been incredible, like, since the restart.
So, a couple things. One, I agree that's disrespectful of us not to bring him up because he's playing so well. That was disrespectful.
How many sides of this coin do you have, Joel? This guy's disrespectful. I like him, and I don't like this guy. Wait, so, like, this is like you're playing 3D coins, man. What are we doing?
It's a, we're a podcast. We're giving recommendations. I can't recommend every guy. I got to pick. Yeah. I got to pick sides. So he just didn't make it. There's nothing I don't like about him. And to be honest with you, if I was able to name more guys, I would have named them. But I just they're the other three guys I picked first.
I like it. I like it. See ya.
So I'll say a little bit on Morikawa. So while I agree, so he's always grouped with Matthew Wolf and Victor Hovland. And, you know, that's well deserved. They should be grouped together. They kind of came out at the same time. And they've had success. Each of them have had success sort of at different times. You know, when they first came out, everybody was talking about Matthew Wolf. And then everybody was talking about Colin Morikawa. And then it was Victor Hovland. And then it was Morikawa again. And then it was Wolf. So I've sort of come to a point where I think all three of them have a ton of upside. And in my article, I actually specifically referenced this. I like Hovland a lot. I like Wolf a little bit less than Hovland, but the price difference I'm getting there for guys that seem to sort of rise and fall, you know, within the little three person, you know, tier that they're in, I'm going to go ahead and take the chance with a much lower priced guy and just hope that he kind of assumes that number one role. And I think that very well, I think that's very possible with Victor Hovland this week.
I love it. All right. See, and that's why, because I need to know, because he, Colin Morikawa has been absolutely fantastic since the restart, obviously winning the only major we've had so far, which has been a lot of fun. So shout out to him, but definitely curious, but I appreciate both of your answers there. So let's hop into this 8K range, just a little bit bigger this week. We have Patrick Cantlay. We have Patrick Reed. We have Tony Finau, Tiger Woods, I guess, Matsuyama, Kevin Kistner, Harris English, Tyrrell Hatton, right? I think Adam Scott, Matt Wolf, Victor Hovland, as you said, Paul Casey, and Louis Oosthuizen, as well as Billy Horschel. Sia, talk to me a little bit about this 8K range.
I'll be pretty quick here. And by the way, Morikawa did miss the cut last week. So again, that's just one tournament. You know, it's not necessarily like, you know, the biggest deal in the world, but just an FYI there. So the 8K range, I'll just mention a few guys that I like. I think Finau is good for the same reasons that I think Scottie Scheffler is good. Like, these guys can go low at any time. I mean, obviously Scheffler right now is playing better than Tony Finau, but Finau can go low and he doesn't have the pressure of making a cut. He does have some pressure to stay within that top 30 of the FedEx Cup standings. I believe he's 29, if memory serves. But honestly, it's the perfect tournament for Tony Finau, because even if he breaks on Sunday, which he normally does, I could see him having a couple really low rounds this week. So I'm going to go for it there. Not a ton of shares there. Going down the list, a couple other guys I like: Adam Scott, Matthew Wolf, and I mentioned Victor Hovland. Outside of that, I'll have a couple shares maybe of Billy Horschel for a bounce back, maybe a couple shares of Tiger Woods.
Tiger Woods, really?
Iron play. And one thing to point out, the greens here aren't necessarily huge. They're kind of smaller than average. So that iron play really is going to come into play to get yourself a good birdie look, or, you know, eagle in the case of a hole or two, perhaps. But so I think, Tiger's been, you know, he's been decent. He had basically three good days last week and, you know, one bad day. So this is his second tournament. Is it second tournament in a row? So that bodes well for him. I think the same can be said for Adam Scott. They're finally maybe getting into a groove in terms of playing a lot of golf. So I like both of them this week.
I love it. Talk to me, Joel. Who you got in the 8K range?
So I'm going to say something a little controversial. I fully 100% agree with what Sia was saying. I'm actually going to play a good amount of Tiger Woods this week. There's a few things that are going that direction. So the first being, one of the metrics that plays out really well on this course is long iron play. And there's nobody better than Tiger Woods at long iron play. So that's a check. Tiger Woods ended Sunday last week super strong, and Tiger Woods hasn't gone 1 week to the next in a long time. And I think that's going to be good for him, right? I mean, with his bad back, his injuries, getting cold, having to get back out there, I think those things hurt him. I think coming in hot after finishing a nice tournament strong, coming right back at it, I think he's going to be in good form. I think he's going to parlay some of that success from last week. I think Tiger's going to have a really good week. And the funny thing is, if you look typically, the ownership levels for Tiger are always way higher than they should be. People are overplaying him because he's Tiger. This week, it looks to be the opposite. People have finally come around on the fact that, like, he's just old and he's not that good. And the ownership levels are down, which now makes it like, okay, well, now I can play Tiger and be different. And now it's, like, valuable to play him. So I like Tiger this week. I'm actually going to play a good amount of him. I think he's going to be back. And I think it's going to be really exciting to watch him this weekend.
FYI, this is a little sneak peek. Perhaps you'll have to stay tuned at my first leader board. So FYI, ooh, but anyway, Joel, proceed, please.
Yes. Yeah. So I went down to the bottom because we were talking Tiger, but the guys in this range, I love Tony as well. Finau, same reason. The long irons. He's one of the best long iron players in the game. This course is going to suit him well. And he is in good form. I mean, you got to look at more than just the most recent history, right? Over the past month, he's been great. He's hitting the ball well. And again, like we always say in DFS, he doesn't need to win the tournament because you know he's going to fall apart on Sunday. But it's late. He can get us in our top 10. That will win us a DFS tournament. That's all we need. And then the other guys in this range that I'm looking at, I don't have too much. I have to have a couple shares of Kisner because every week I'm looking at the leaderboard and I keep saying, why don't I have Kisner? Because he's playing well every week and every week I don't have him. So I'm not going to make that mistake this week. This week I'm going to have him. And therefore, when he's playing well again and he gets out of the top, I'm going to say, oh, I do have him. And that doesn't hurt me.
I love it. I really like the Tiger Woods take. It is funny, as you said, his ownership levels are always through the roof because it's Tiger Woods, the most famous golfer pretty much that ever existed. And now, for whatever reason, this week, people are saying, you know what, we don't want to play Tiger. And this allows Joel to sneak in, and this allows Sia to make us some money in other ways. And I love that. So, again, this is a very weird tournament. It's 70 players. There is no cut. So now that we're getting down to this 7K, you know, 7K range, low sevens, and even into the sixes, all of these guys are not household names, but you guys have talked to me about them all at this point. So, Sia, let's talk about this 7K range. I mean, we have Matthew Fitzpatrick, Alex Noren, Mr. Henley, Gary Woodland, Sungjae Im, Abraham Answer, your boy. I mean, talk to me about this top half of the 7K range, because I think that there's a huge amount of value here.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with you here. I mean, a lot of these guys are guys that were probably priced 500 to 1,000 more like a month ago, essentially. And they've just sort of, like, their game has just sort of deteriorated little by little to get down into the 7K range. And I mean, honestly, Woodland and Answer and probably Sungjae Im sort of headline that crew of people that I'm talking about. And frankly, I'm not on any of them. I haven't really been on Woodland at all this year. Answer I was on for a while, but I've sort of faded. If you noticed, I haven't really been saying his name quite as much. He was very disappointing last week. I think he's an okay play, but interestingly, like, for this range, he's like pretty chalky again. And so is Russell Henley, who I'm not going to play. Russell Henley, I mean, I'm not going to completely fade him, but this is now we're getting into a point where we've got chalk in the 7K range, and it might end up being bad chalk. You might end up chasing points. Listen, Henley's been really good, but for me, it's kind of like what you said, Joel, about Kisner. Like, I don't want to be late to the party. And I wonder if the party already took place and then we're going to jump on it. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, he is who we thought he was, kind of thing. So that's sort of where I'm at with Henley. Not so much Kisner, but Henley, especially with about 17% ownership percentage. That's pretty high in this range. Guys I like, Ryan Palmer, and we talked about him before. He's been really, really good. And by the way, he's 100 less than Answer. And you'll see in my article, they played the same four tournaments, the last four tournaments, they played the same exact ones, and Palmer's stats versus Abraham Answer's and his finishing position are night and day. I mean, I think in those four tournaments, Answer's highest finishing position was 15th. I think that's like Palmer's third worst of the four tournaments. He's been really kind of lights out. So I think you're really getting value with Ryan Palmer. And I just don't think Answer's game is where it needs to be. Going through the rest of the 7K range, other guys that I'm sort of thinking about, Brendan Todd. He's just kind of been good. And at this price and with really low ownership, he's projected under 5%. I mean, I think I'm going to go back to him. You know, there are these courses that that you want to be long at. But a lot of those courses, some of these shorter guys are successful at. And Brendan Todd has been pretty locked in. So that those are a few of the guys I like in the 7K range.
What do you got for me, Joel?
So I'm going to cheat a little bit. I apologize. But I forgot someone from the 8,000 range that I can't sleep with if I don't mention. And it's Matthew Wolf. He's been in such good form. He's playing well. You got to have some shares of him this week because he hits really well long irons and the driver, and that's what you need on this course. I have a good feeling about Wolf this week. So that's someone in the range before that we'll be targeting. Then going into this 7,000 range, a guy I like that's kind of been sneaking into the radar. He's been great for the last month or so, Alex Noren. He's a really good putter, which is kind of his biggest strength. And typically with like DFS, you don't tend to target good putters because that's hard to be really consistent in. But the way he's been playing consistently over the last four tournaments, it's hard to hit him. Right? I think he's just playing so well. He's a little higher price than I would like to see him typically. He's a great value in like the 6,900 range. But he's just playing so well. I'm definitely going to have some shares of him this week. Another guy in this range I really like, and I think I mentioned him last week, is Jason Kokrak. He's really suited well for this course. Again, like I said, the main theme for the guys I'm picking is long hitters, right? Who's going to be able to get us those birdies? Because that's how you're going to win. Like I always mention, the 9 birdies and 9 bogeys beats 18 pars. So if Kokrak, yeah, him and Palmer, they're both going to get a lot of bogeys, but they're also going to have a lot of birdies, and that's what's going to help us win in these DFS slates. So I'm on Kokrak this week. I'm also on Palmer. I actually love Palmer, and I kind of feel like Palmer is getting disrespected by DraftKings. At this point, I feel like he should be in the mid-8,000s. He comes every week, and it's not even just been the last month. It's all season he's been great. So he's just a guy that just kind of DraftKings is overlooking. And so that for that, it's almost like a value play, right? If you're going to get a golfer who's better than his price, you should play it.
I love that. I love that, Mr. Kokrak. I'm sure we'll talk about his cousin, Mr. Gooch, a little bit. But with that, I guess we can just hammer on right to that 6K range. A lot of these guys, again, Max Homa, I'm still surprised he's there, honestly. Wierenski, we've talked about him a little bit, obviously. Mr. Gooch, Joel Dahman, still there. Mr. Fratelli. I mean, a lot of these guys, Sia, you, Adam Long, some of these guys, they've been the secret weapon in weeks past. Are we getting a secret weapon this week, even though there's like no cut? Is there some like weird stuff, or is that still in play today?
Yeah, it's still in play. We'll still have a secret weapon, which I'll release on Discord tomorrow night, and perhaps after or right before the RG3 interview. Ooh. But that was another success last week with Kevin Streelman, who actually shared the first round lead. I was actually disappointed in myself because typically the secret weapon, I'll at least put a couple bucks on him as a first round leader just for the fun of it, and I just didn't do that last week. So that was a little depressing. A note on Matthew Wolf: a couple people might be a little intimidated by picking him because I think he shot a 77 on what we all know it was an easy course on Saturday, but he did rebound really well on Sunday and played really well, much like Joel, you mentioned Tiger did too. I think he shot a 67, so 10 strokes better from that awful day. I think that would have been 4 under on the day, which is pretty solid. So, you know, a lot of times we remember the big number, but we don't remember the bounce back the next day. So Matthew Wolf, he was actually in my article as well, Joel, and I like him as well. And just to make the point, and I've already mentioned this, and then Joel reinforced it on Ryan Palmer. Just so you like, just to get the numbers right, the last four tournaments, and again, they're the same exact tournaments that they've played. Abraham Answer, who was priced higher than Ryan Palmer, missed cut 43rd, 15th, 58th. Okay, same tournaments, the last four for Ryan Palmer, who again is cheaper, 8th, 43rd, 15th, and 2nd. I mean, it is, talk about disrespect. I mean, again, I know that's only four tournaments, but you know, this is kind of like a crazy thing that. It's one thing for Palmer to be priced at 7,600. It's another thing for Answer to be priced ahead of him. I mean, at least they should be the same price, or Answer should be $100 cheaper. So you are getting value there. So in the 6K range, there's a few guys I like. You know, Taylor Gooch has been really good. I like him quite a bit. Joel Dahman, I like him. I mean, if we're talking about birdie, like he's the classic case of a guy that could have one awful, awful day and three really good days and rack up the points for you. So I like him quite a bit. Dylan Fratelli is kind of, you know, he's a little shorter, but he's kind of been my guy the last month or so. He was one of the secret weapons a few weeks ago, and he killed it that week. So I like him. You know, Streelman's on there. I'm not so sure about him this week. Tyler Duncan is interesting, super low ownership. He's been really good. other than that, there's not anybody that's really kind of standing out to me. Those are the guys that I'm probably going to try to fit into my lineups.
I love it. Joel, what do you got for this 6K range?
I think Sia made a really good point, and I'll double down on that. I almost target guys who shoot a one-day 77 the week before because they're lower on the leaderboard. They didn't do as well, but all it was one day. It means if you shot three really good scores and you blew up one day, it's not out of the question for you to do four good scores the next week, right? So I almost rather find the guy that had one blow-up day who maybe is getting overlooked because he played well the rest of the week and he can just maybe put together 4 days the next week. So I love those kind of plays, and I think that's a really, really good point Sia made.
That point, if you don't mind, what if you shoot three really good days and just, you know, an average day, right? And you're right into it. What if you don't blow up for plus 10, you go even or something? That is also another way you could look at it where they don't just completely take themselves out.
Well, the point is, if you shoot three really good days and an average day, you probably did well, right?
Exactly.
So you're on people's radar. Whereas if you shoot three good days and a bad day and you blow up and you're in the middle of the tournament, no one's looking at you. They're just like, oh, this guy didn't do anything. He's not in good form. Where if you look deeper, yes, he blew up one day, but really he played three really good days. So he's capable of getting those good days. You just need to make sure he doesn't blow up on the next tournament. So I think the thought process is like a blow up day is like I got to target because if it's just one, then he's in good form and you can get all those birdies. So the one guy in this range that I definitely do not play a lot of him, but maybe a good sneaky play to throw into your lineups is JT Poston. He's one of the lowest owned guys in the tournament right now. I think he's at 1% ownership, so no one else is going to have him. He's pretty good. I mean, he's a good golfer. He's, you know, he has a – I don't remember off the top of my head right now which tournament it was, but he put up a really good score recently, whether it was last week or 2 weeks ago. And if you look, he has a few top 10 finishes this year. So it's not out of the realm of possibilities for him to get a low score and help you in this really low range, especially at 1% owned. I like Richie Wierenski, and I'm going to mention him again when we start talking about bets later on. But I think he's another sneaky play in this range where you can get, you know, a guy when you want to maybe put Bryson, beefy Bryson, if you will, or if you want to get DJ in your lineup, you'll need to find some of these guys. So I think he's a good guy to target. Another guy in this range I really like, and you know I hate butchering guys' names, but Byung-Hung An. He's in the same family as Palmer, Cockrack, Dahman. They can go really birdie, 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 bogey, bogey, bogey. He'll blow up at certain times. But if you're locking him into 4 days, to me, what that means is you're locking him into a lot of birdies, and that's what I'm looking for in these tournaments. So I'm definitely, especially in those lineups that I am going to go high and take a lot of those big dogs, he's definitely going to be a staple in some of these lineups. Your boy, Michael, Gooch. I like Gooch. I like Gooch a lot this week, and not just because it's fun to say his name. I actually love that the way he's playing. It's fun to say his name too, but I really do like him this week. I think this course suits him in terms of he hits some long irons really well. And the thing to kind of isolate is when you are building lineups and you're building, like I said, the stars and scrubs. When you're going to the scrubs, it's pretty simple. It's two thought processes. Who can get the most birdies, right? And for this course, who can hit it long? Because those are going to give you the chance to do it. And so I literally just went down to the 6,000 range and I said, okay, here are the guys that hit it long. Gooch, Dahman, and Wierenski really doesn't, but I still like him anyway. And those are pretty much my targets. The one other guy in this range that I have my eye on is Maverick McNealy. He was in that amateur tournament that was played like 5 years ago. I think he finished like in the teens or 20th. So he did pretty well. He's played here. He has some history. So those are my targets for this 6,000.
I love it. We got a lot of targets. It's a 70 player field. I guess 69 now. Nice with Webb Simpson not being there, right? So we have one less player. There is no cut. So it's going to be an interesting weekend. I know our good friend over here, Patrick Scott, refuses to play cash games when it comes to no cut tournaments. I don't know if you guys feel the same way about that. See, I know you say no, you can still play cash games. Joel, are you still playing cash games or is this the weekend just to go all GPP all the time?
So you probably don't know this one. I never play cash games. I'm always all GPP all the time.
Kind of knew that. But
I'm always going for the big payday. So that's all I'm worried about. I never play cash.
I respect that. And for some people, that's okay. Other people like to build their bankroll, but you've done that through, a few very high priced wins. So I don't think you have to worry about bankroll anytime soon, my friend.
Well, let me explain why I do them, because there is a logical explanation for that. Yep. So here's my thought process. With golf, right, you're targeting, let's say, so 70 guys in this field, there's probably 20, 25 golfers I'm targeting. If I miss, then I'm losing all my GPPs and my cash games. That's twice the losses. Mm-hmm. If I hit, then great, I can win GPP. I might not, I could break even because other guys maybe had some long shots I didn't have. Great, and maybe I'll win some cash. But the point is, when I hit big on GPPs, I'm making big a lot of money. When I lose, when I have a bad week, that's twice the losses I've been playing cash. I don't want to take twice the losses. I'd rather just keep playing the GPPs. I can afford the loss of just that, and I don't have to worry about having a bad week and losing twice the amount of money.
I like it. That's a pretty solid explanation. I appreciate that.
That makes a lot of sense, actually. Yeah,
I like that. Very cool. I'll play even more GPPs now, just in the name of track. I love it. So let's talk about some bets. We have a couple outrights, I know. Obviously, we love our first round leaders. Those are always the tastiest. Sia, talk to me a little bit. What do you want to start with first round leader? No, we like to keep those for later. Let's talk about outrights for the tournament. Who are you liking that is a little bit more of a long shot? Because actually, I heard a statistic today. If you have taken everyone under 20-1, it's only cashed one time since the restart. Every single person that has cashed started the tournament over as a 20-1 bet. So it's an interesting little statistic that I heard. Shout out Pat Mayo Experience. So Sia, talk to me a little bit. Who we liking in terms of the outrights this week?
Pat Mayo is fantastic. We don't usually tout other podcasts, but I will say that he's, and it's not even the content necessarily. It's just his delivery. It's just a funny podcast. He does a lot of different things, not just golf, not just football. He does a lot of stuff.
He is, just listening to him talk, it's just like I'm on a roller coaster with him. It was so much fun. Anyway, yeah.
Hey, listen, you know what? That was too much praise. We don't want people to just like, you know, turn the channel right now.
Keep listening to us, though, everybody. How's that sound?
So, okay, outright. And you already sort of prefaced this for me, so I don't really choose the 20-1 shots or lower than that. If I'm gonna lock in on an outright that's one of the favorites, I'm gonna hope he has a bad Thursday so I can get him on Friday. The outrights from 30-1 or longer, I'm gonna take a shot at Patrick Reed. He's sort of been like not really anywhere to be found, you know, really close to the leaderboard on Sunday, but he does have the game to do it. He's not going to be intimidated by this field. One thing I do want to mention is about Byung-Hung An, by the way. He you're so right. He's like either miscut or he makes it. But the last two that he made the cut was the WGC and the PGA Championship, where he finished 22nd and 12th. So like those are remarkable fields, and he did great in those. And then some of the other ones, like the Northern Trust, I believe he missed the cut. So it seems that he does lock in the talented fields, and that's what we have this week. So I just kind of want to co-sign the recommendation. But Adam Scott at 45-1, I like. I think this is another Tiger Woods situation where he's playing a second tournament in a row. And he has the game to win here. He's played well since coming back from the restart. He just hasn't played often. Ryan Palmer at 85-1. It's interesting because I was going to have him as a first round leader, but this is evidence of what Ryan Palmer can do on any given day. First round leader, he's 45-1 on DraftKings, which I thought was an error, but he's 85-1 to win it outright. So clearly they think Palmer has a shot to kill it one day, you know, presumably the first day, but he doesn't have a shot to put it together for four rounds. Well, 85-1 for a guy that's playing that well, I'll take that. And then my super long shot, again, I've mentioned him, Brendan Todd at 110-1.
I love it. Let's make some money. I just put like $2 on all of those. That's my favorite thing to do. I'll sweat out with you, Tia. So with that in mind, out of curiosity, with this being such a weird tournament, again, 69 player field, no cut, are you paying attention to some of these long shots a little bit more, understanding that these guys in 70th, 69th, 68th, they have to do a little bit of work to get into that top 30 so that they can just at least cash that, as you said, that 400K, next weekend? Is that something that you're going to take into effect, especially with some of these DFS lineups a little bit, knowing there's a little bit more urgency, if I may, for those guys towards the back of the field?
Yeah, not really, because I don't think the narrative thing has really been working out too much the last few tournaments in terms of people accumulating points. Did you want to do the sound effect?
I did, but you already went too far, so I
ruined it. I'm so sorry. Okay. So, and by the way, the guys that are in like 70th, they have a really slim shot of getting inside the top 30. So the guys that are in like that like 25 or like 22 to like 40 range, I would probably put a little bit more on that. And there's plenty of golfers that are like that. I mentioned a couple of them earlier in the show. So Yeah, I would look at that because I think they potentially could be more dialed in again, potentially. But no, I'm not too big on that this particular tournament.
Okay. And Joel, do you have any outrights for us that you're going to be sweating?
So I got three outrights, and one is I'm prefacing it with a significant wager on one. I'm going to save it to last because that's my biggest play of the week. So the two other plays. Listen, if you're betting outright, you want to have fun with it. Betting the 12-1 guys, yeah, they're favored. They're more likely to win. That's not as fun for a weekend of 12-1. So I'm not looking at those guys. So I am going to start with Jason Kokrak at 100-1. If he avoids a blow up day, he's right up there with everybody else. He's as good at getting birdies as everyone. He just isn't quite as consistent. So at 100-1, I definitely like putting a couple shekels on him. Another play I like is Victor Hovland. He's coming around. He played great on Sunday. This winning this will actually have a lot of meaning to him. So like, there's an extra incentive of like, I kind of need this to get in there. And he's another one of those guys where his kind of weak point of his game is like around the green. And that shouldn't be the biggest factor on this course. It really is more about long iron play, which he's really solid at. So if his biggest weakness shouldn't be a big factor, that should really help him. So at 40-1, I like him. But my play of the week, my big play that I am going to be putting probably a couple $100 on, and this is going to be a controversial one because it's going to be a name that everyone's familiar with. It's the big cat, Tiger Woods, to win the whole thing. It's Tiger time. I think he's going to win it. I think he's back. He looked great last Sunday. I think he's going to put together all 4 days. And I know he wants to win the FedEx Cup, right? Like, this is the type of thing where he'll come motivated, right? This is not just another tournament for Tiger to go play. He's won how many 80 tournaments in his life? Like, he knows how to win a tournament. Going to another tournament doesn't excite him. This is something that will get him excited, right? Getting him set up for the FedEx Cup. You know he wants to win the FedEx Cup. Getting him in position to do so. I think we're going to see a big week out of Tiger, and I'm gonna bet on it a lot of money.
What are those odds?
It's 33-1, and 33 happens 32. To be my lucky number. So now I have to bet it. Thanks for nothing.
Okay, I'm glad I didn't put that Mavs bet in. I don't know what the score is, but I'll ride that out with you. If I can figure out how to get my free bet, I'll ride that out with you, Joel. I love it. Good stuff. The big cat coming through. The last time you put a significant wager on something when in terms of golf was only a couple weeks ago when we had Mr. HV3. If I'm not mistaken, cash a lot of money for everybody but me. Everybody but me, because I'm stupid. Sia, let's talk about some of these first round leaders. I know this is a little more tasty. This is a little bit more immediate too. We know Thursday night if we won our bets or not. We don't have to wait all the way till Sunday. But talk to me a little bit about some of these first round leaders.
You know, HV3 reminds me. We have an interview tomorrow, and I can't remember who it's with. Michael, can you help me out?
Ooh. I think there's a three. Oh, yes. It's Mr. Robert Griffin III, the best quarterback in the Baltimore Ravens backfield. I don't think we
relax.
Can say that to him, though, right? I think
relax. No headline making tonight, Michael. Come on. You know better. First round leader. A couple of these are actually shorter prices than I normally take. And I know, Joel, you're on the train of kind of like taking the deep guys, and I am too. But again, it's a 70-person field, so I'm going to take a few guys that are shorter than I normally take. Scheffler at 28-1. I'll try to ride that wave. Again, he's a birdie maker. Whether it's on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, there's going to be a round where Scheffler goes really low. It's just a matter of when. Tony Finau, another guy that fits that exact description at 33-1. And I have the big cat, too, at 33-1. So that's kind of cool. I can have an outright bet. I can have him in a couple DK lineups, and I can have a first-round leader play. So we're kind of all in on Tiger. And for the record, anybody that's listening that doesn't know, this is like the first time that we've had any sort of consensus or any mention of Tiger being in A, our lineups, or B, in our betting market. So take that for what it's worth. The other two guys I have, again, I dropped Palmer because his first round odds were ridiculously off. I have Joel Dahman at 70-1, and I just added Byung-Hung Ahn at 80-1. So those are the five guys I had. And Joel was so pissed. Joel? I took his Byung-Hung Ahn pick that he was like, I'm out of here.
But he's back.
There
now.
He is.
Okay. We don't know where you went. You're back, and that's all that matters. That's a very interesting deal. We've every tournament Tiger has been in since the restart, we've pretty much just said, nope, not even bothering, not even dealing with it. Don't waste your time. And now, I mean, you, Angel, not only are like, yeah, maybe we can play him. It's no, let's put a couple $100 on him to win the entire tournament. I think that speaks for itself. So I think it's a good reason. Again, these fun golf ones, I'll be honest, like I put real money on other things. I legitimately just put $1 or $2 on all these outrights just because, hey, if you turn $2 of a 100-to-1 bet into a win, that's a cool $200 in your account. I'm not going to be angry about it. And I'm not going to be angry about losing $2 either. So it's a nice little way of enjoying this golf a little bit more, which I think is a lot of fun. So that is the BMW Championship. We had a lot of fun overall. Oh my gosh. I'm
first round. First round leaders for Joel.
I got some more picks for you.
You left. I just thought you were
and some matchups too.
That's on me. Yeah.
No worries. I will say, because I think it is important, if you're a new listener, it is important for that context that I gave is very true. We never recommend Tiger. Actually, I normally recommend not to play him. I think it's a bad play. So the fact that we're recommended to play, this is not normal for us. We're not like Tiger homers that are always saying to play him. So that doesn't mean he's guaranteed to win the tournament, but just know that we're not people that are always saying play Tiger. This is contingent on this week. Now, my first round leader bets that I like, and there's four that I'm going to mention. A guy that I mentioned earlier that I already talked about, Byung-Hung An. You know, he's the type of guy that because of his volatility, it's hard for him to win a whole tournament, but he can definitely win a day of a tournament. And like, if there was another bet that was like low round of the tournament, I might even look at him for that too. Like, cause it's hard to predict it's going to happen on Thursday, but one day he's going to get really low and I'm going to want some shares of him. So I'm going to definitely have a few shekels on him for the first round lead. I also like Richie Wierenski. So that's what I was mentioning him before when I was looking at our DFS plays. He does have a good first round scoring average. And so when I start picking my first round leader plays, I've done it after I've already kind of started building my DFS lineups. And so I'm looking when I'm doing that and seeing how have you done in the first round. And I think that if I see that guys typically come out hot, that's a guy I'm going to target, right? A guy that is more accustomed to starting strong. Because there's some guys that normally don't start strong and then they finish strong, right? So I just want to target those guys, shrink the pool a little bit for my first round leaders, so the guys that have a history of starting strong. And Richard Wierenski is one of those guys. And now, Michael, your boy, I know you're going to have to put at least $1 on this one, Taylor Gooch. He's another guy that I like this week. He's the same type of thing where it's like, you don't want to bet these type of guys top 10 or top 20 because you don't get great odds for that. You know, maybe it's like 3-to-1 or 5-to-1, which is like, they're still a long shot. So you don't, it's not worth like, what am I going to get from betting that? But if you can get some really nice odds on him to win the first round, like 80-to-1, for him to have a low round, and he certainly can do that. And he's another one of the same type of guys that's not going to do it for 4 days, but for one, he certainly can. I think that he's a good value target. And the last guy, and this is a guy that I really liked last week. I'll be completely honest. I'm not as high on him this week, but I do like him for just a first round bet. And it's Cameron Smith. He played well last week. He wasn't great, but he's one of those guys that he's a better golfer than he got credit for. He was really good before the restart. He got cold when the restart happened, and he seems to be coming back into form. So now it feels like the good time to get on the bad wagon before he gets back up into his, 7,000, 8,000 range and everyone's on him. So I'm trying to be a little sneaky and plan before he's back into full form.
I like that. Sometimes we got to be sneaky. It's more fun that way. So I think what we're going to do this week, guys, we are going to speak two things into existence. One, Tiger is not only going to do well, but he's going to win. And two, we're going to get Taylor Gooch on the podcast. I think that's what we have to do now. So we're going to have to do a shout out to him. Maybe next week we can make a planned, an extravagant event as we did for Mr. G3. So I'm very excited. That one worked. So I think let's just keep that in the back of the head, boys. See ways we can get Mr. Gooch on and maybe have him and Mr. Cockrack on the same time. I don't know. I think I might be getting ahead of myself. But I think it's something that we can talk about and something that we can get to. So that is our DFS. Those are our DFS players. Those are our first round leaders. Those are our outrights. I think we're good now. For the BMW Championship, we have Cian Najab. We have Joel Schreck with us. Joel, do you want to hang out for a little more football? We got some football to talk about too. You got some fantasy.
Absolutely.
Well, let's get this party rolling. So a couple things have recently happened in the NFL that are alarming, to say the least. The NFL had a COVID problem this past weekend where the facility that they use in New Jersey, what up, shout out New Jersey, they had a a horrendous amount of false positives, and it affected, I think, 10 or 11 teams. The GM of the Bills said, if something like this happens in season, that is a gigantic problem. Sia, talk to me a little bit. I'm sure, you know, Jason and I actually got to talk about it on the Sunday show. I don't know if it happened in time for you guys to talk about it on the Saturday show. I'll be totally honest, I don't remember. But with something like that happening, if this happens on a Thursday or a Friday and the NFL has to cancel five games, the NFL has to cancel one game, that throws everything into a loop. How do you think this is going to affect us in terms of betting? And how do you think this is going to, more importantly, affect us in terms of fantasy for the rest of the season?
It's just funny. It's sort of a lesson and a teaching moment on perspective. And it's not that either of our perspectives are wrong. It's that, like, you can listen to something, and depending on what your filter is, you internalize it differently. Because I took that story as really good news, because at the end of the day, there were negative test results. So I understand.
That's the most important part. Yes, that, of course, is the most important part.
No, but I'm not even talking about the health part. I'm just saying, like, oh, I thought they were positive or they're negative. Okay, so business as usual. But I understand what you're saying, because whether they're positive or not, whether the tests are wrong or not, if they come back as positive and they're wrong, well, so what? That, you know, you're probably going to have an issue for that Sunday. So I don't know. You know, it's really a hard thing to predict. I'm not really going to be in the business of, like, predicting anything beyond what's before me in that week. So that's sort of where I'm coming from a year-long fantasy standpoint. I think you need to build out, you know, a couple IR spots, which most of these platforms allow you to do. I think you need to consider, at least, depending on how deep your bench already is, you know, adding a round or two or three. You know, in my leagues, I have, like, a pretty deep bench as it is, so I don't necessarily need to do that. But some leagues have, like, six deep on their bench. That's unacceptable right now, given the situation. So, but in DFS, listen, I look at all of this as, you know, I don't want year-long to be interrupted, but, you know, from a DFS standpoint, we've seen it with baseball. These games are canceled, but you still have the DFS slate. So to me, this is an opportunity from both a sports betting standpoint and from a daily fantasy sports standpoint, because it's just more information for people like us to filter through and give to ourselves and give to our subscribers. Because, you know, at the end of the day, when information is changing so fast, it's really the people that really, like, do this that are going to be able to take advantage of the new information. So I mean, it would suck for the football season itself, but just from a purely daily fantasy sports standpoint, now it doesn't bother me at all. If anything, it's kind of a bonus.
Yeah, I mean, from a DFS standpoint, as you said, as we've seen from baseball, it really hasn't done anything but take away a couple pitchers on a slate and maybe a stack or two. It's really not that big a deal. But I think the problem comes in where baseball can run double headers. The Mets are playing five games in 3 days against the Yankees this coming weekend. You can't do that in football. The schedules are very specific. They're very down pat. So, Joel, how do you, like, something along those lines, understanding that this schedule is so specific and so tight, and you just throw one, you know, wrench into this, the entire machine blows up. It's not as easy like baseball. It's like, all right, well, you know, the Yankees will be the home game for the first, and then the Phillies will be the home game for the second, and it really doesn't matter. The NFL is going to have a huge, huge problem. When you saw this story, did this ruffle any of your feathers? Because it seems like C is kind of looking forward to taking advantage of the stupid people not paying attention.
Well, a few things. I think, you know, what doesn't bother me is the test, right? I think obviously it's amateur hour that the first batch happened that way. The NFL has too much money. There's too much for this. They'll get that right. Like, I have full confidence in that getting corrected. That is not worried about, as much as I am the fact that you can't compare football to these other sports for a few reasons. One, there's 55 guys in a locker room. We're not talking 10, 15, 55. Two, they're not in a bubble. These guys have lives. They're going out. There's 55 guys going in different directions, 55 guys coming into a field and playing each other. It's bound to spread. I mean, this is one of the most contagious diseases. We don't know what to do. We're not allowed to walk outside without a mask on. What are they going to do playing football? So it's going to happen. And so I'm more concerned at, like, when it does happen, how bad is it going to be? Are games going to get canceled? Is this season going to finish? That's my concern. And, you know, and it's not funny because this is a really serious disease, and that's a serious thing. But to make a joke out of it, because we have to.
Please.
Are you familiar with the movie? It's an old movie, Celtic Pride. It's with one of the Wayans brothers. He plays – first of all, you have to watch it. It's an amazing movie. I recommend everybody. He plays for the Jazz, and these two diehard Celtic fans, they're legendary comedians, go and kidnap him during the playoff series so that he can't play, so that the Celtics can win the series. I am now envisioning that people are going to basically say, listen, we're playing Pat Mahomes. It's the wild card round of the playoffs. I'm going to go cough on him, give him COVID, and then he will no longer be able to play against us. And it's like, literally, it was the other, my buddy made a joke, and then we like thought about it. Like, what is this, Celtic pride? And the other day, I was doing well in one of the golf tournaments, and I was like, there was like one guy ahead of me that I needed to slow down. My buddy's like, just call in, say he has COVID, make him get off the course. Once he's out, you're going to win the tournament. And I was like, you're joking, but that's actually – and then – so obviously, no, don't actually do that. It's a terrible, terrible idea. But I'm laughing because football is crazy, and especially down in like the Midwest, I don't put anything past anybody. And the day Matt Mahomes – someone calls in and says, Pat Mahomes, I saw him coughing or I was around him and I have COVID, and that's going to cause – well, should he be able to play? I don't know. And when you can't play Pat Mahomes in a big game, like that's going to cause so many ruffles. I don't know what's going to happen.
It's going to be the weirdest season, of course. We've already starting to see certain teams are, I think the Dolphins said they'll have 13%, see if I'm not mistaken, 13% of their fans.
I think they said 13,000 fans.
13,000, okay. So they'll have some fans, and now other teams are like, wait a second, why did, like, we should all not be allowed to have fans if we all can't? So it's going to be weird. It's going to be wacky. I'm going to watch every single game, of course, because I don't have anything else to do, because I'm not allowed to leave my house pretty much. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be fun, but I don't know, man. Joel, I agree with you. I think there's going to be some weird stuff. There's some shady stuff. We know we're having fun betting on golf and basketball and football now, but we all know where the money is. We all know that there's like 8 times more bet on football than there is on all these other sports combined, pretty much. So it's going to be interesting. I'm going to be talk to me.
Well, I was going to say, I was like, you know, same thing I was thinking with LeBron. Basketball's got in control, but like, imagine in the middle of a playoffs, if LeBron gets tested positive, the whole series ends, right? Like, you can't go on. Like, the same thing with like Pat Mahomes. If Pat Mahomes gets COVID, they're not going to win a game. And same thing with Lamar. No, wait. I won't say Lamar Jackson. If Lamar Jackson gets it, they might be better off because RG3 will come in.
No, we're not allowed to do that. You said we can't. You said we can't do that. Come
I'll
on.
Allow it. I'll allow it. Sustained.
He's a lawyer, so it's sustained.
I know. No. He's the lawyer. I have to listen to him. I know how this works, Joel. Don't tell me how my show works, Joel. Thank you very much. No, but I totally agree with you, man. It gets weird, and just how if you take one of these guys out, it's gonna mess with a lot of stuff. But it's interesting to say the least. And just this last point on our SiriusXM show, channel 210/87, SiriusXM Radio 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. Saturdays and Sundays. Sia is now Saturdays. I'm now Sundays. We figured out Sia has kids and I have a life. So like, why were we doing Saturdays and Sundays opposite before? I still don't know, but we figured it out. We caught on. We had Brandon Steiner and Leonard Armato on. And I can't remember which one said it. I want to say it was Brandon Steiner, but he even said, in terms of season long fantasy, one thing that, you know, don't put, you know, mega weight on, but take players from teams that are kind of out in the middle of nowhere, right? Like, you get Giants and Jets. We know what's going on in New York. We know what's going on in New Jersey. You got teams down in Florida. We know what's going on down in Florida. Teams in Texas, we know what's happening. Texas, California, of course. You have teams like Kansas City where, I don't know, how many people live in Kansas City? I don't want to insult anyone, but what is it, like 500,000 people live in Kansas City? Is that a high number? Like, I don't even know. Like, there is a significantly less like concentration of population, even in the cities in the Midwest, that the opportunity for spread might be a little bit less. And again, we're not going to put heavy weight on it, but it's something to take into account. So I don't know.
I think it's a bad take, though, because those states generally ignore the mask requirements more than some of the states you mentioned.
That's true.
So, you know, which situation is better at the end of the day?
I mean, not Texas or Florida, I guess. But again, I'm not a doctor. I wouldn't know. But thank you both. We actually have some more stuff, so maybe C and I will bring back this Thursday show just because there's a lot of injury news that we want to get to. But we are at an hour. I don't think we need to do this too much longer. Sia, where can everyone find you on the internet?
They can find me at Sia Najad, SianEjad, and they can find you and me tomorrow at 8:30 on the live stream again.
On the live stream. On here, on the Wind Daily Sports Twitter page, on Wind Daily Sports Twitch page, on the Wind Daily Sports YouTube page. And we actually now have the functionality to do this live on the website, which now that I'm saying it out loud, I remembered I didn't do for this stream in particular. So I will remember to do for the next stream. Joel, where can everybody find you on the internet?
You can find me at DraftMasterFlex on Twitter and Instagram.
And Instagram, you can find me at MichaelRazil1. And as Sia said, we have an incredible, incredible show tomorrow. I'm very excited for it. Mr. RG3 is coming on. And Sia, if you could, to close the show, say something disparaging about Philadelphia. Well, it's an easy target. Let's go.
That is an easy target. You know, I was having a conversation with somebody that was really sweating the Jalen Reagor thing. I think, by the way, in DFS, I think Greg Ward is a fantastic play at 4,200 week one against that Washington secondary. Okay, that's not disparaging, but what is disparaging? Yeah, it was too nice. Carson Wentz is going to get mauled in that game. I just don't think the Philadelphia Eagles offensive line is not what it used to be. That doesn't mean it's a bad offensive line, but that front seven for the Redskins, if Wentz doesn't get the ball out within like 2.5 seconds, it's going to be game over for him. So I don't mean an injury, but he's just going to be on the ground a lot. So I think that game's going to be a little bit closer than people think. And I'm not buying the recent hype that Philly actually is the NFC East, you know, dominant team, because I'm hearing that a lot lately, and I still think it's Dallas.
Still Dallas. I think it's down to -110, though. I think you got it at plus money, if I'm not mistaken. So look at that. Should have been paying attention, people. Should have been paying attention. So that is our disparaging remark about Philadelphia. I think that's how we should just end every show. Just say something mean about Philly. I kind of like that. But as I said, Michael Raziel, one for seeing a job, for Joel Schreck, for everyone over here at Win Daily Sports. We all hope you make it a very profitable evening.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Michelle Beadle. That's right, the Michelle Beadle. You're welcome. You love talking about sports. I love talking about sports. You know the only thing cooler than talking about sports? Sports! And right now, all your favorite sports are on SiriusXM. I'm talking every NFL game, every game from the NBA, NHL, MLB, every NASCAR race, golf major, major conference college sports, and all the top games in the WNBA. If it gets your heart pumping, it's on SiriusXM. To start your free trial of SiriusXM today, visit SiriusXM.com/believe.